Thank you very much, Dr. McCrae and Reverend Rem McKee, for the invitation to come and be part of this special Bible conference here in Machrafelt. It's always a joy, of course, for me to come to Machrafelt, and even since the early times when it was just Reverend McCrae and his 12 apostles in the church. And I always remember Machrafelt because every time I came, they had an extension out this way or that way or that way. And it just seemed to grow and grow. And we thank God for the work here in Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. And we trust the Lord will continue to bless you and keep his good hand upon you in these days. If you have your Bible with you this evening, I want you to turn with me, please, to very familiar verses in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 28. Gospel according to Matthew, and chapter 28, and some verses at the very end of the chapter. Words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what we call the Great Commission of the Gospel. We're going to read from verse 16, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May God stamp with his own divine approval the public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow together once again in a wee word of prayer and ask God's help upon the preaching of his word. Father in heaven, we come again tonight into thy most holy and sacred presence in our Savior's wonderful and precious name. We thank thee, Lord, for thy presence already with us in our service this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for these hymns of Zion that we have been singing together. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry and song. And our Father, as we come now to the preaching of thy word, we freely confess, I need Jesus. I need him every hour. Need him when the storm clouds lower. Need him in the sunshine. But Lord, we confess, we need thee. We say like the hymn writer, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And our Father, especially as we come to preach thy word, I pray for that cleansing in the precious blood of Christ. Might know that perfect, present cleansing that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ imparts. Lord, may we be clean that bear the vessels of God. And may we know the anointing of the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Remember the little chorus, oh, for a fresh anointing. Oh, for that heavenly flame. Oh, for a fresh anointing to glorify thy name. Yeah. That thy name, thy person, thy work, thy majesty, thy glory may be magnified tonight in our hearts and in our lives. And our Father, that we as thy people, that we might, even as it were, fall in love afresh with our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be so overwhelmed and overflowing with the love of God in Christ for us, that we might long to tell others the good news, the glad tidings, that Jesus lives and no longer death's portals are cheerless, but Jesus lives, the mighty and the strong to save. So, Father, shut us in with thyself now, we pray. Pour out thy Spirit upon us and lead us and guide us into all truth. For we ask all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. 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 So we've been having this Bible conference throughout the past week. It's good to rejoice, and we were just looking again at some of the subjects concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My, the prayer of our heart is we would see Jesus. And it's good to remember our security in the Savior, that we can say with the old gospel hymn, "Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." Thank God, because we are in Christ, we are enabled to come and draw nigh unto God with that great assurance that if we draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto us. Thank God we're on redemption ground and we're on praying ground, and we can come boldly to the throne of heavenly grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And that we might serve the Lord Christ as becometh the people of God. That we might rejoice that He is our great prophet and priest and king. And isn't it a wonderful thing tonight, as the people of God, that we rejoice in God's salvation. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hand, He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name, He lifted me. He took us up from the fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on the rock He has set our feet, establishing our way. And He has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And many, many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, in the New Testament scriptures, as the Lord Jesus Christ gave this great command, this great commission to His disciples. And I'm sure just like you and just like me, they wondered how the Lord would entrust to poor souls like us the great responsibility of bringing His message to a lost and pagan and heathen world. And yet you remember that we're told in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in Acts chapter 17, that as those disciples and as the 120 waited before God in the prayer meeting at Pentecost, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 6, it says, "When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." In a very short space of time, these poor people, just ordinary men and women, just like you and me, their testimony was that they have turned the world upside down. In reality, they were turning it right side up, because this world is no friend of grace or of God's. But the Lord blessed them. And even Peter, the man who denied the Lord with oaths and cursings, filled with the Holy Ghost, could preach at Pentecost, and thousands of precious souls were saved. Now, Paul writes in the epistle to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 11 and 12, it says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And before someone thinks to themselves, "Well, I'm not an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher," Remember that these gifts were given to the church for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints of God, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And when you read that little phrase, for the work of the ministry, that includes pastors, teachers, evangelists, every child of God. We're all in the body of Christ. And Paul says, these gifts were given that we might be matured and that we might grow in grace and that we might be enabled by the grace of God to reach out to men and women. Even as we were singing in that hymn tonight, in the quiet home life, going forth with prayer, or out upon the highway, seeking men and women for Jesus everywhere. Wherever it might be, you in your small corner, and I in mine, reaching for the precious souls of men and women. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And oftentimes, sad to say, we see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it seems to be weak and powerless and feeble. But we need to remember that the Lord said, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell, all the councils of hell itself, will not prevail against the onward march of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go forth in his name. You can just imagine these poor disciples. And they go to this place the Lord Jesus Christ had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. My, he is our risen Savior. He has been meeting with them. And they had watched Calvary. They had witnessed the Savior die upon the cross. They had lain his body in the tomb. But thank God, on the third day, he rose again for our justification. And thank God he lives in the power of an endless life. And now he speaks to them and he says, go ye into all the world. Go therefore and teach all nations. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The one who humbled himself, who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The obedient one now is seen as the exalted one. And the one who was clothed in humility. And the one who was treated as the offscouring of humanity. And the one who was despised and rejected of men. Now he is the preeminent one. And God hath given him a name that is high above every other name, that in the name of Jesus one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So thank God tonight we stand as the people of God and we have a Savior who is alive and alive forevermore, and he has given us this command. One man many years ago, he said, this command is the marching orders of the church. He said, it is the divine warrant for all types of Christian service. Sometimes when we preach in the open air, there's always someone who comes along and who says, who gave you the authority to preach here? How come you're preaching here? Well, we have divine authority, for Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told us, go ye therefore. And so we have every right and we have authority from heaven itself to preach the gospel of Christ and to be witnesses for him. There's been many cases in recent days about people in different walks of life, and they have been called to an account because they have been sharing their faith, whether it be a doctor or a nurse or a teacher or a clerk or whatever it might be. But we have the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be witnesses. And the Bible says, freely ye have received, therefore freely we must give. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us here this great commission. And from this commission until Jesus says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. From the commission to the consummation of the age, he has given us the command to go and to preach and to teach and to witness and to bring others to himself. Now, nothing has changed from the Lord gave that command, except that we are 2,000 years nearer the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was just thinking today about our brother Dr. McCrae and myself. We started out together in the Theological Hall of the Free Presbyterian Church. We had our interview the same night before the presbytery. We preached our trial sermons before the presbytery. And they never heard anything like it before or since. Don't know whether that's in a good way or not. But anyway, we did that. And time has gone on. And we're looking back now a long, long time. And we have changed. We know that. But listen. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. And the one who saves men and women at Pentecost is the one who can save men and women today. And the one who broke in, as it were, to the lives of men and women in their home and their families can do it again today. And the one who saved the most, it would seem, obstinate case, or the one who seemed most unlikely to ever be touched or changed, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do it today. And I just want to think with you very simply of some things about these words of the Great Commission. I want you to notice, again, we've been thinking about this great claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power is his. It means complete authority. It means power of attorney. It means unlimited power. There's all things mentioned there in verse 18. All power is spoken of. Verse 19, all nations are spoken of. Verse 20, we to teach them to observe all things. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am with you always. Power. In Psalm 2, there's a verse, and many a godly missionary, many a minister, many a child of God has claimed it. It says in Psalm 2 and verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Those words were spoken by God the Father to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He would ask of God, and God would give him the very heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And thank God that includes all nations that we're going to be thinking about in a moment or two. But you know, many a godly saint of God, many a missionary, maybe a pastor, maybe a preacher, they've claimed that verse. They've said, Lord, this place where I labor, it's hard and it's difficult. Some Christian says, this family that I am in, I'm maybe the only one saved in my home. And brothers and sisters, maybe they make fun of you and they taunt you about your Christian faith. But if we ask, God says, I'll give you the very heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the world for thy possession. And we need again to focus our eyes on the Savior. And as the apostle says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because we serve a risen Christ. We serve a Savior who is alive and alive forevermore, and all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. The Bible says, even the nations of this whole world are as the drop of a bucket before him. They are accounted as the small dust, the fine dust of the balance. And yet, thank God, he knows everything about every one of them. Scripture says he knows even the very number of the hairs of our head. Psalmist says he knows our down sitting and our uprising, our going out and our coming in. There is nothing hid before him, and all power is his. So take encouragement that we are not defeated, that we are not discouraged, and we're not downcast, and we're not going with some philosophy or some idea or some ideology of man, but we have the gospel of Christ, which is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that brings us to the great challenge in the commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations to go. We've got to go. And it says here, all nations. There are no exceptions in the book of Acts, chapter 14 and verse 21. It speaks about the apostles. And when they had taught many, F.B. Meyer said, all nations without exception. The great commission gives us a challenge to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Proverbs, you remember the great text of Scripture in Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The story was told about a preacher many years ago, and he had that text in his church, but things were hard and times were bad, and it seemed that nobody cared, and no one cared anymore. And he, no matter what he did to try and motivate the people to go and win others for Christ and to bring precious souls under the sound of the gospel and to be a personal witness, he seemed it just fell upon deaf ears. And so he decided to quit and to go elsewhere. And the story says that the morning he decided to leave, as he was walking down the aisle, heading out, one of the letters fell from the text. And instead of saying, where there is no vision, the people perish, it said, here, there is no vision, the people perish. But Jesus says, go. And we remember that incident when the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked to the multitudes. And as he looked on the multitudes, he looked on the multitudes with compassion. And he said they were like sheep having no shepherd. And he said they fainted and they were weak. You know, I often think about it as Christians. Sometimes we begin to believe and we get tainted by what this world thinks and its mindset and all the rest of it. And we begin to think that the majority in this world, that they have the power and they have the authority and they have everything at their disposal and that they have all the might and they have, as it were, limitless resources. And yet we see the majority of this world and we see the terrible sins that are committed and we think about drugs and drink and immorality and people living for pleasure and for plenty. And we look across the world and we see the false teachers and the false cults and the new philosophies, which are really only the old lies, as it were, rehearsed once again, all despising the Word of God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, as he looked upon the multitude, he said, "They're sheep having no shepherd. And they're sick, and they're weary, and they're fainting." Isaiah says, "All we like sheep had gone astray, and we had turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And beloved, we look upon men and women, we're sometimes like the man in the scriptures, and he was blind, and the Savior touched him, and he saw men as trees walking. And then the Lord touched him again. And sometimes we look, and although we realize the fields are white unto harvest, we think that man could never be saved. That man's too important. That man's too educated. Or that man hasn't enough education. Or that woman wouldn't understand. And we look at them and we think about their careers. And we think about where they live. And we think about maybe their religion or their religious denomination to which they belong. And maybe we think it seems they're beyond the pale of God's salvation. But that's not so. For Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And go to all nations and to all people." Not just as we used to sing, "Far, far away, in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost." I always remember at conventions, Dr. Paisley used to get people to sing in the prayer meeting in Old Raven Hill, "Not far away, in heathen darkness dwelling." Maybe just the end of your street, just in that estate where you live, just in that complex of houses, just with those people you work with, your colleagues in your office or in the school or your friends in a factory or in a hospital or wherever it might be. But they're dead in trespasses and in sins. They're sheep having no shepherd. They're lost and undone. And oh, that the Lord would help us to have that vision as the Lord Jesus looked upon them and he seen them and he wept. And you remember how he thought about those religious people in Jerusalem and he cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her brood, but you would not come." I know that we might realize that eternity is real. Bible says God has set eternity in the hearts of men and women. And there are so many men and women in this world today, and they're going through life, and maybe they're asking themselves the question, why am I here? And they're thinking, and where am I going? And what's it all for? What's it all about? Because they have never, ever heard the clear, simple presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many, and many religious people, and they're so religious that it has blinded out the gospel. And of course, the god of this world, Satan, he has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion upon them. Because as we were singing that lovely hymn there, we have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away, and the night cometh when no man can work, and eternity is real. There is a place called hell. The wicked shall be cast into hell, and the nations that forget God. And thank God there is a heaven, the home of the redeemed, place where there's no more sickness or sorrow or separation or death itself. And thank God for the offer of the gospel to men and women, that men and women born in sin and shapen in iniquity on the broad road, as Robert Murray McShane said, he could hear the feet of men and women, Christless men and women, on that Christless road to a lost eternity. And oh, that we might be moved with compassion like the Savior and see them for what they are, possessors of an immortal soul that will live on as long as God lives, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. For what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And thank God, as Jesus made this claim, and he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and he gives us the challenge, go ye therefore. My, we can help in the work of God. Thank God, it was great to hear the men in the prayer meeting tonight crying unto God, and thank God we can pray. And when we think about the work on the mission field, we may not all be able to go to the mission field, but we can all pray. And we can all support the work of the mission field. But there are men and women who cross your path day and daily whom the missionary will not reach. There are men and women in our society whom you and I move amongst. And we have to live before them and by our life and from the words of our lips. And as the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And the love of Christ that is shed abroad in our hearts and in the church as we fellowship one with another, that men and women may see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here also of a great communication. He says, teach all nations. And he says, teaching them in verse 20 to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Means to make disciples, to make followers, those who will be learners, those who will follow the commands, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Souls who have decided for Christ, we have to help them as Christians. I know how much it means for someone who has just received Christ as their Savior, for a brother or sister to come and invite them. Say, if you've never been to the prayer meeting before, you can come with me. I'll collect you. I'll bring you. I'll take you there. If you'd like to come to the Bible study, I'll go with you. If you want to talk to someone, I'll take and introduce you to them. Maybe the elders or the pastor, whatever. How much encouragement it is if someone gets saved and you can go alongside them. And I remember hearing about a young man in a factory in the city of Belfast, and he got saved and he came into the factory and he was overflowing with the joy of the Lord. And he told the man in the factory, and the man who worked with him for years said to him, oh yes, you know, I'm a Christian too. The young fellow said, well, you never told me. But what a privilege it is just to help and encourage one another and to share with them if they've got a burden, maybe for their family, and they've got a problem and it keeps arising, as it were, and for someone to pray along with them and to help them. And the Bible speaks here about those even who were dedicated. They not only decided for Christ, but they were dedicated to Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. A public witness, a public confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we think about those two who delighted and who were devoted and were being developed in Christ. When it says there after Pentecost in Acts 2 and 46 that all those people who loved the Lord, they got together and they continued in the breaking of bread and in fellowship and in prayers. And how important it is for every one of us as the children of God to be in the house of God, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but to be in the place of prayer and to be in the place of the preaching of the Word of God. And as much as the Lord enables us, if there is a witness, an open air witness, if there's an outreach team that we can help, that we can, as the hymn says, speak just a word for Jesus. Tell what he's doing for you. Speak just a word for Jesus. You know, Jesus says here, I'm the great companion. There's great companionship. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. Here's this wonderful promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. When you go out to do something for him, you don't go on your own. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we might boldly say, the Lord is our helper. And when we venture out in anything in faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be with us. He will lead us. He will guide us. You remember Philip experiencing revival. And the Lord called him to go out into the desert place, to reach one man, the Ethiopian treasurer of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And God brought him to meet that man and to explain to that man the prophecy that he was sitting in the chariot reading, Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him Jesus. Then the Bible says the Lord caught Philip away, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Philip was in touch with the Lord, and the Lord brought him to meet that man might take the word of God and become a witness in his own land. But Philip was conscious, and he was confident, and he was in touch with God, so that when God told him, Philip, the Spirit said, you go. He went unhesitatingly and obediently. He went at the Lord's command. And when the Lord took him away again, away he went. But he knew that as he went forth, the Lord was with him. The story was told about David Livingstone, the great missionary in Africa. On one occasion, he was in great danger. And by the flickering candlelight, he was reading these words of Matthew chapter 28. And he read here in verse 20, and lo, I am with you always. And then he said, that settles it. He says, these are the words, he said, of a gentleman of sacred honor. I will trust him and not be afraid. And later it was said that the Lord brought him through his troubles. And years later he spoke in England and he said, The thing that sustained me all the years in Africa were these words, "Lo, I am with you." Lo, I am with you. Lord promises his presence and he promises his protection. You remember in the account in Mark's gospel, he talks about the Lord working with them with signs following and miracles happened. And if they would eat any poisonous thing, deadly thing, it would not harm them. They would speak with other tongues. Those things happened at Pentecost. Remember Paul, the viper attached itself onto Paul's arm. Different things happened, but the Lord was working with them, and he was protecting them. We have the promise here, "Lo, I am with you always." And of course, he promises to give us peace as we go, for he said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And he promised to be there. And of course, where he is, there is power. I think it was Dr. Campbell Morgan was preaching from this text, "Lo, I am with you always." And he says, this is a great promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. And as they go forth to witness, he has promised to be with them. Promised to be with them day by day. Promised to be with them night by night. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And wherever they might be, the Lord will be with. This is his promise. And a wee woman says to him, she says, "Dr. Morgan," she says, "that's not only a promise." She says, "That's a fact. That's a fact. For he is with us. And he will be with us day by day." And you notice here's the continuance of it all. Even unto the end of the world. He's promised to be with us. You know, sometimes we look back over the history of the Christian church. And maybe we do so with rose-colored glasses. And we say, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a certain age or heard certain preachers or be involved in such a movement as that? And we forget about all the battles and all the hardships and all the difficulties that they faced in their day and their generation. And we have to face them in our day, in our generation. But the Lord has promised, "I will be with you even unto the end of the age." And thank God, when the Lord Jesus gave that commission, promised his presence to all who will follow him upon this earth. And he's in heaven now and he's interceding for us. By his Spirit, he dwells in the hearts of redeemed men and women. And we are to live for him and to serve him. And someday, he's coming back again to receive us unto himself. But as the old hymn says, that the Lord would save us from ever fearing to speak or sing or pray. That's great encouragement in that gospel hymn. Because humanly speaking, we can be fearful. Humanly speaking, we might be of a shy personality. Humanly speaking, we may find it difficult to go and knock on the door and start up a conversation with someone about the things of God. Humanly speaking, there may be many, many things that would hold us back. But Jesus has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of it." Not just in the great revivals of past days, not just in great movements of God throughout the world in past years, but right now. He never changes. And thank God he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. May God help us to witness and to reach out to others that they too may come to know our Savior. May the Lord bless these thoughts from his word to our hearts. Dr. McRae.